the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
I'm sure you would have heard this discussed again last week by Matt about, with the Friday panel, that we had a survey by a company called CensusWide who said that 20% of people believe that having a romantic relationship with an AI chatbot would be less complicated than a human one, and also that 10% in Ireland, 10% of people, adults, believe that a romantic relationship with a chatbot was something that they had already had. What's going on here? Fiona O'Malley is chief executive of the charity turned mental health charity Turn to Me. But first, Aoife Barry, broadcaster and author of Social Capital. Aoife, I want to start with you. I'm sure you, in your research for your book, which I know we spoke about when it came out at the time, you talked about the internet and the rise of it and social media. But now we're having romantic relationships with the latest iteration of it.
Yeah, it's a really interesting one because at the time I was writing the book in about 2021, 2022, this wasn't really as on the radar. I mean, we'd had the film Her, like the Spike Jonze film about a character who falls in love with an AI bot voiced by Scarlett Johansson, but it was kind of in the ether, but not something that was really out there. And now we are at the stage just a couple of years after the book has come out where you will see people doing interviews online and with news outlets about the relationships that they are having with these chatbots, which are often also called kind of companion apps. There's different apps you can use to do this. So it is much more, I suppose, being normalised in terms of us talking about it. I mean, in a way as well, the idea of people maybe having unusual relationships with inanimate objects isn't something that we haven't not talked about before. It is something we have talked about before. Like a woman once did try to marry the Berlin Wall, for example. So you've got things that can be very extreme. But when you're talking about these ideas of relationships with chatbots or companion apps, you're talking about, I suppose, AI systems that act and behave like as if you're having a conversation, you know, by voice or by text with a human being. Only that human being is created by, I suppose, generative AI or by the AI system, and is effectively being extremely nice to you in most cases because their job is really to be a bit of a people pleaser. So they're not going to be nagging you to clean up after yourself or pick up the towels off the ground or whatever. They're going to be saying, I'm here for you, you know, you can chat to me. And this is why these positive feelings that they kind of engender in people does tend to attract some people towards having relationships with them. Would I say 10% of the country has had those relationships? No, because the sample that was used in that survey is only about 1,000 people. So we're not talking about really 10% of the country, but there's definitely an interest among some people out there, according to that survey.
Yeah, and it says a lot about our current state of mind when people say, or 10% of people say, it's a good way to practice for real life relationships. Normally you practice for real life relationships by having conversations with the person in front of you or beside you.
Yeah, I mean, completely. And I was thinking about this today and about why people would be drawn towards using AI companion apps or using something like ChatGPT to become a companion for them. And there are these compelling reasons in terms of if you look at real life. For some people, interacting with people can be very difficult. If you're on dating apps, for example, you can have really negative experiences on there, whereas you know you'll have a more positive one generally with the companion app. There's also the idea of if you're online and you're on social media, as I detailed in the book, you're not always going to have a really positive time there too. Now, many people will have positive experiences with all of these things, but not everybody. So I think for some people, there can be that idea that they're kind of, you know, maybe driven towards using these things and they find that they have a positive experience. But at the same time, like, it's not real life, but it does feel like a real relationship to people. And I guess my concerns around it would be, we don't really know what the impact this is having on people. We don't know what the company's intentions are around them. We don't know what's going to happen with more kind of commercialization around these companion apps or chatbots. And those conversations people are having are very private as well. So there could be concerned family members or indeed, you know, spouses of these people who are having these relationships who don't know what's going on. And the regulation isn't really clear around
and
this
all
area
of the information,
too.
Every query, no matter how polite you put it in, is being used to actually train the chatbots for future use.
Exactly. So then you're kind of wondering what the end game is there and what it's going to tell us about relationships as well if we just, you know, rely on chatbots to give us, you know, to kind of tell us how to interact with people or if we rely on those previous relationships and those conversations. So it's one of those areas where, you know, AI is huge in inverted commas now at the moment, but there's so many questions about the impact of a lot of these things. And I guess for me, it's not a thing of saying this is a terrible thing or this is the best thing in the world. It's can we stop have those nuanced conversations about it because we don't want to stigma on people who have the relationships, but we also don't want to say thumbs up, all good, no questions here, let's move on to the next thing.
Fiona O'Malley, Chief Executive of Turn to Me. Look, we can treat this with a little bit of levity, but the serious point here is there's a lot of people who, particularly since the pandemic, have been stuck in a room, probably on their own for many hours of the day with no companionship, and this is a replacement for it, and while it may be helpful for them at a time, in the long term, it's not really good for them at all.
Absolutely. I think it's an entirely insufficient replacement. These figures are really concerning because they do point, as you say, to the very real, the growing loneliness crisis in Ireland, which has peaked really since the pandemic. And whilst AI chatbots might provide short-term temporary comfort, they can't replace the depth, the nuance, the mutual support of human relationships. And, you know, when you're interacting with a machine that is constantly, you know, appeasing and flattering and amiable, that's not a true reflection on socialising. You know, when we are a social species, humans are tribal in nature, and it is important that we're socialised by, I suppose, objecting and dissenting views, that we understand how to interact with difficult conversations, that we learn to negotiate with people who disagree with us, and that's how we learn and grow, and that's the richness of human connection and human interaction. So I think one of the things that, you know, is very worrying from a relationship perspective is that if you are engaging with someone who you, I suppose, if you're engaging with a machine, after a while it almost becomes personified to you. You seem to consider it might have a personality or something. It's still extremely submissive, and it doesn't really push back at all. And when you have that type of behaviour and type of engagement, and you seek something similar, you will ultimately be seeking someone extremely submissive. So I think one of the dangers that it can lead to is extreme misogynistic or extreme misandrist behaviour. So I really think it's quite worrying, and I think that you know, the loneliness crisis certainly cannot be solved by an AI chatbot, but I think it's a very, very poor, substitute for real human
and for
engagement.
For people that haven't had the, due to whatever reason, the practical real life experiences of relationships and arguments and rows and breakups, this gives them, well, this is what life was like, and this is what's going to be all perfect when I actually do go out into the real world.
Absolutely, it's oversimplified, and I think it might make it more difficult then to go into the dating pool. You know, it's like a very poor substitute and poor training. We've all been on terrible dates. I remember, you know, a bazillion years ago when I was single, I went on a date and he was so obnoxious and cut across me, and I couldn't wait to get away from him. And even though I told him, oh, I really have to go, he insisted walking me to my bus, and then I said, oh, this is me, and I got on the bus, and it wasn't even my bus, I just needed to get away from him. So I understand dating can be very difficult, and it can be frustrating, but unfortunately there is no other substitute than you know, putting yourself out there, and, you know, hopefully eventually for most people you know, it will be worth it in the end.
Just want to bring back in Aoife Barry. Do people realise that when you put in these queries or whatever it is, and there are people out there who have daily engagements with ChatGPT or others, whatever it is, that it's meant to please you, that the whole goal of it is to keep you interacting with it, and it will do whatever it takes to keep that relationship going?
I think that's a good question, because I've been watching interviews with people who've spoken to people in the media about it, and reading interviews, and a lot of people, even if they do say that they understand that, for a lot of people I think that does kind of get lost in the mix, that there is that sense people don't realise, like, these are systems set up to, you know, to please you, that can lead to things like you're just speaking about there, about the misandrist element to it. There can be a gendered element to it as well too. I mean, it links to things like Siri and Alexa, which are kind of female coded AI companions, which makes you wonder why aren't they not male, why are we getting women to do things around the house, that kind of thing. So there's all of these levels that I think so, if somebody wants something out of these chatbots or companion apps, maybe they're not thinking about those other more nuanced, difficult aspects to it, you know. So it can seem like it's very easy to do, it's free to do at the moment, you know, it can be a bit of crack, but like there's a lot more layers to it than perhaps people might want to admit in some of these cases.
Yeah, Fiona, that's the point I was making there as well to Aoife, that look, it's going to to say everything to keep you there, and if the chatbot sees that you're not engaging with it or you're not using it as much, it may say things to people out there that aren't nice and helpful. They may turn out to be very hurtful.
Yeah, absolutely. There's been reported cases of AI chatbots encouraging suicidal ideology, which is very, very worrying, and glamorising and encouraging self-harm behaviour. So it's not all, a light or a harmless companion or assistant. It can be quite dangerous. But I suppose something that's trying to get your attention constantly through any type of conversation, no matter what it is, obviously has some dangerous downsides to it too.
Can there be any benefits from it at all, particularly for, I'm thinking of young people out there who, as I said, we always talk about the online generation who only grew up with a screen in front of them? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's brilliant for pulling together a first draft of something, or if there's a document or report that you're pulling together and it's quite tedious, and if you're quite time poor, it can be good to pull together a first draft of it. But all AI chatbots are AI. They're large language learning models. So they basically trawl the internet and they scrape the internet for information, and that's how they learn how to fill in reports or answer questions. However, AI does also hallucinate. It basically makes things up. There were cases, two different lawyers, I believe one in the UK and one in Australia, were struck off because they submitted to support their arguments in court. Things that didn't actually happen, and the judges actually both copped on and asked for further clarification. It is quite dangerous. It can hallucinate. So I would never, even though it can be helpful, I would never rely on the first draft of it, and you really do need a human review.
And certainly not for anything in your personal life. Aoife Barry and Fiona O'Malley, thank you very much for that.
The Last Word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.